أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله أجمعين وأصحابه المنتجبين. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم: قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحوا. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate. Respectable audience, distinguished listeners, honorable viewers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, God willing, we are going to talk about the Divine Oneness, or the unity of Almighty Allah. When we talk about the unity of Almighty Allah, or when the talk is about the oneness of Almighty Allah, so we have to understand that when we talk, when we say that Almighty Allah is one, this proposition or this sentence implies two concepts and two important meanings. The first is this, that Almighty Allah is one, meaning there is no partner that should be associated with Almighty Allah or that should be associated to Almighty Allah. It means there is no one that has to be given a part and a role beside Almighty Allah in this universe. There is no one parallel to Almighty Allah, and no one deserves to be parallel to Almighty Allah. All those idol worshippers' beliefs and tenets will be refuted through this sentence, that Almighty Allah is one, there is only one Lord. The rest of the lords, the rest of the kings, the rest of the gods do not deserve to be given a chance or a room in this universe. This is the first meaning and connotation we can deduce from this first sentence, that Almighty Allah is one. Secondly, when we say that Almighty Allah is one, we can look at this sentence from another perspective, from another angle. And that is that Almighty Allah is simple. Almighty Allah does not accept any components. Almighty Allah is not composed of components. Almighty Allah is simple. Almighty Allah does not accept or does not have any components. Almighty Allah is not something or someone that should be composed of different multifaceted components. No, Almighty Allah is one means that Almighty Allah is simple. Almighty Allah is basit. So it makes important that this sentence, that Almighty Allah is one, it gives us two important concepts. The first was, once again, the first was is that when we say Almighty Allah is one, it means that there is no partner. No partner should be assumed for Almighty Allah. No one deserves to stand parallel to Almighty Allah and running this universe. This is the first. The second was this, that when we say Almighty Allah is one, Almighty Allah is not mixture or composed of different components or elements. In this sense, Almighty Allah is basit, Almighty Allah is simple. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, there are various verses of the Holy Quran that explicitly denote Almighty Allah's oneness. Almighty Allah's oneness is the most important concept after proving the existence of Almighty Allah. Why? Because the pagans, the pre-Islamic pagans, they did believe in Almighty Allah's being a creator. they did accept, they did have this belief that Almighty Allah has created the whole universe. Almighty Allah has created all these galaxies. But what was the problem with their belief was this, that they did not believe in Almighty Allah's legislation, in Almighty Allah's lordship, in Almighty Allah's monopoly right to legislate, in Almighty Allah's monopoly right to run this universe. They did not believe in Tawheed Tashri'i and Tawheed Rububi. Otherwise, they did believe in Almighty Allah's being the best creator. All the prophets, all the messengers, all the great saints and apostles, they had this invitation for the human beings that they have to come towards Almighty Allah's oneness. It means their matter was oneness of Almighty Allah. They did invite the people to this one Lord, not to two or three or multiple lords and kings. No, they always invited the human beings to only one Lord, to one designer of this universe. So these verses of the Holy Quran can be found in various chapters. For example, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Al-Imran, Al-Anbiya, Al-Ikhlas, Fatir. In these various verses of the Holy Quran, we find this matter. That is, قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِحُ. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household was said that you have to tell your people and your populace that if you only utter this only one sentence, this only one word, this only one preposition, then you will be felicitous. You will be gaining a happy life. There is no Lord except Almighty Allah. قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. There is no Lord except one Almighty Allah, then tuflihu, you will be successful, you will be prosperous, you will gain success in the eternal life. Another verse of the Holy Quran that again stresses and emphasizes on this very concept is Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, or again al-wahidul qahhar. And then, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, tell for the people that Almighty Allah is one. So all these expressions, all these descriptive phrases makes us understand the importance and significance that Almighty Allah puts on His oneness, that only one Lord should be proved. So dear listeners, some of those verses are as following. لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا أنا وما من إله إلا الله وما كان معه من إله إن إلهكم لواحد or قل هو الله أحد. So all these expressions, all these verses denote Almighty Allah's oneness, Almighty Allah's unity. So now the question might arise in our dear listener's mind that is oneness of Almighty Allah from those positive attributes of Almighty Allah, or that is from those negative attributes of Almighty Allah? In order to make it clear, dear listeners, once again I should say, or I should reiterate some few sentences, that we did talk about the divine attributes, and we did classify the divine attributes into two categories. The first was positive, and the second was negative. The positives were those attributes which we could ascribe to Almighty Allah, exempting all the limitations and faulty points from these attributes. The second was the negative attributes, which we could not ascribe to Almighty Allah. Or if we ascribe to Almighty Allah, we should say that none of these attributes are related to Almighty Allah, cannot be related to Almighty Allah. For example, Almighty Allah is not jealous, Almighty Allah is not this, Almighty Allah is not that. So these attributes were negative attributes which we could not or we should not ascribe to Almighty Allah. Another classification was again this classification that were these attributes related to divine essence, or they are related to divine acts? I mean, they were related to divine essence, I mean, sifat dhati, or they were related to divine acts, I mean, sifat fi'li. So now the question arises that this oneness of Almighty Allah or the unity of Almighty Allah is related to the positive or negative attributes. Secondly, is unity of Almighty Allah from those essential divine attributes or those attributes which are related to divine acts? So let's have a very close eye on this aspect of the discussion. We can ascribe every kind of attribute to Almighty Allah on condition that those faulty points or those limitations should be exempted from those attributes. Then we will be able to ascribe these attributes to Almighty Allah. For example, as I said, if Almighty Allah is merciful, Almighty Allah is compassionate, so we should keep it in mind that all those limitations, all those things which are subject to change, they should be exempted from Almighty Allah's attributes, from Almighty Allah's mercifulness. Then we can, of course, ascribe mercifulness and forgivefulness, everything to Almighty Allah. But it should be kept in mind that a correct sense should be taken from that attribute when we ascribe to Almighty Allah. For Almighty Allah owns and possesses all these attributes in an absolute form, in an absolute format. Almighty Allah does not possess these attributes in a limited manner as that of the human beings. For example, we are merciful, but of course our mercy is not comparable with that of Almighty Allah, for our everything is limited. Even our existence is something given to us. It is not of ourselves. This is first. Secondly, Almighty Allah should be purified from every kind of limitations, from every kind of inappropriate attributes. Then, with purity, with good, decent manner, and a decent language, for sure we can ascribe these attributes to Almighty Allah. So now coming to our own topic, that whether unity of Almighty Allah is from those negative or positive attributes, and secondly, is unity of Almighty Allah related to divine essence, or that is related to divine acts? Now we will discuss this important issue for you, dear listeners. Respectable audience and distinguished listeners, again, unity of Almighty Allah can be talked about in different ways, in different perspectives. It means when we deny partners, when we say that no partner should be associated, so of course we are talking about those negative attributes. It means in here, no partner should be ascribed to Almighty Allah. No partner should be made parallel to Almighty Allah. Here it means it is somewhat negative attribute, meaning that we deny, we negate, we refute every kind of partner from Almighty Allah's realm. This is first. Secondly, when we say that Almighty Allah is one, meaning that He is simple, He is absolutely simple, He is absolutely pure from every kind of composition. When we say that Almighty Allah is not composed of too many things, so for sure here, this unity is related to Almighty Allah's essence, not to Almighty Allah's divine acts. So it became clear here. So what are the reasons, what are the arguments that prove that there is only one Lord? You know, dear listeners, for proving Almighty Allah's oneness, there can be various arguments ranging from simple to difficult and from very brief to detailed ones. The first is that we have to be contributed, or we have to take help from our own senses, from the common senses every one of us are equipped with. So, dear listeners, every one of us being equipped with such kind of understanding and common sense, we can come to this conclusion. We can make this argument that since the universe is a manifestation of Almighty Allah's wisdom, Almighty Allah's intelligence, there is only one order that prevails over the phenomena. There is only one wise designer behind this one design of the universe. If there were two lords, if there were two, for example, if there were two gods, for sure there should have been two or multiple designs. In all these phenomena in this world, they should have never been connected or interconnected with one another. But right now we see that everything, every incident, every event that occurs in this universe, they are related with one another. For example, from the movement of the sun and moon, the motion or the movement of the rivers and the clouds. From those subtle points we find in the creatures to those galaxies that right now are still the human beings could not discover, all of them are related with one another. From this unique, from this precise order we deduce and we derive this conclusion that there is only one wise designer behind this wise order. Otherwise, there should have been many other rules and regulations. None of the events would have been interconnected with one another. One of the holy imams, he has said that all the prophets, all the apostles have come from the heaven. With their heavenly message, they invited all the human beings to only one Lord. None of them has said and has invited the human beings to another Lord. Every one of them has come and complimented another prophet's invitation and another prophet's call for Almighty Allah. So from this constant and continuous sequences, we understand that there is only one Lord. Had been there another Lord, he would have sent his own independent prophets. He would have sent his own independent great saints and apostles. But none of us can bring a witness and evidence that a prophet has called the human beings towards another Lord. Or none of the prophet has said the human beings that you should turn your face from this Lord and go towards another Lord, or accept and embrace the invitation made by another Lord. None of us has this witness or has assumption that there is another God beside this Almighty Allah, and he has sent many prophets, and they have called us to accept their invitation. No, all the prophets, all the messengers, they have come and they invited us towards one wise Lord. This is a very simple argument that we can make to prove Almighty Allah's oneness. Briefly talking, I should summarize that what makes sense in this argument. The argument is this, that since we believe that there is only one design behind the universe, all the phenomena are interconnected with one another, it makes us reach this conclusion logically and rationally that there stands only one Lord. Had been there another Lord, he would have had his own design. He would have his own, world. Since we do not have such kind of evidence, for sure, finally we believe that Almighty Allah is one, and behind this universe, there is only one wise Lord, that he runs the affairs of the human beings, and all these phenomena are interconnected and related to his will and pleasure. Another argument that we termed it as a difficult, it is a bit complicated argument. So it requires the listeners that they have to pay precise attention. Otherwise, it will be a bit difficult for them to digest. Firstly, had been there two lords in this universe, and each of them had some similarities with the one, with the first, and the second had some dissimilarities. For we believe that there are two lords. When we say that there are two lords, every one of them should be a bit dissimilar. Otherwise, if both of them are possessing all qualities and all properties which the next has, so there is no meaning for duality. When we talk about two, so duality should be assumed there. If there were two lords and both were having some similarities and dissimilarities, what is the problem here? The problem is that if we think that the first is Lord, so he has to be impeccable, while we here assume that he lacks those distinct points which the second has. And the second also does not possess all what the first has. It makes the Lord in need. And such a Lord is not the real Lord. For we did say that the Lord should not be in need of anything. His existence should be absolute and necessary. Thus, we do not have two necessary existence. We cannot have two necessary gods or lords. Why? Because if there were two lords, they would lack some distinct points which the next has. Finally, what we reach the conclusion? The conclusion is that there is only one Lord. We cannot assume, we cannot think of two lords in this universe. The first argument we made, which was very simple, that was like the design argument. Since there is a very precise design behind all the phenomena in this world, we understand that there is only one wise designer behind all this design. This is first. Secondly, which was a bit more complicated argument, that was this, that had been there two lords, they should have similar and dissimilar properties and points. When we say there are two, so these two means duality. There is not absolute similarity. If there are absolute similarity, then we cannot mean two. So two is different from one because one is one. And two is two because there is this similarity between the first and the second. As I said, had been there two lords, so the first lord had lacked those distinct points which the second has. And the second lacks all those distinct points which the first had. You may ask, what is the problem then? The problem is that God is the one that stands in need of those distinct properties. For example, the first God is the most merciful, but the second God is, for example, the wise or another attributes. So here he stands in need of wisdom, and the first stands in need of mercifulness. While we say that we do not need a Lord that should himself stand in need. Almighty Allah should be ghani, should be absolutely rich, and should not stand in need of other things. Thus, we believe that there is only one Lord with absolute purity, simplicity, and unity. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.